Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. This is Kimberly Moore. Happy day of Mercury retrograde, because that seems to be what's going on with our back end studio. So I hope you all can hear me. And if you'll bear with me for just a second, I'm going to bring our marvelous guest, Dr. Pamela Eakins, on in just a moment, as soon as I can reconnect with the studio. Thankfully, the audio part should be all about the phone. So as I'm waiting for my computer to connect and catch up with me, I hope everyone is having a wonderful Thursday. And the best I can say is, hopefully, tomorrow is Friday, and hopefully we're all going to have a really great weekend. Today is the day that Mercury stationed retrograde. And I don't know about you, but the shadow has been haunting me just a little bit, which tells me that this Mercury retrograde seems to be sitting right on my chart. So I'm going to keep smiling and hope that nothing like goes completely kaput and laugh my way through it. So right now, as we have five planets in retrograde, oh my gosh, you know, the best approach to everything is to take it all as an opportunity. The challenge is keep your sense of humor, don't overreact to anything, and know that this too shall pass. So as I'm, again, waiting for the back-end studio here to catch up for just a moment, I want to direct everybody. First of all, thank you for tuning in. Before my board went flashed off, I saw that there are a bunch of people signed in and dialed in, so thank you so much. And I want to remind everyone, motherhouseofthegoddess.com, you can pop over there for all of the latest blog posts. We've got some really great stuff up there from Molly Reamer. Dr. Jeanine Cannon has a gorgeous poem up. The Goddess Feast Days and Celebrations for May. And Mary Pettiot did a wonderful review of the book Jesus, Muhammad, and the Goddess by Trista Hendren. And Trista will be joining us at the end of May on Goddess Live Radio. So lots of really good stuff. Of course, mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net. There are tons of classes going on right now. Many of them are self-paced, so you can kind of dive in at will. And Beltane is coming this weekend for those of you that celebrate. I am really delighted to be joining some friends for a Beltane celebration on Saturday night. And it'll just be good to be kind of like away from a screen and outside, even though it's a little hot down here in South Florida, but in community and with friends and eating and laughing and doing some rituals. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope your Beltane is going to be really marvelous. For those of you who are interested in learning more about Beltane, Dr. Susan Harper has a quickie mini course, Getting to Know the Sabbat. That's on mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net. We've got some other really great stuff going on over there as well. Molly Reamer has her Goddess Magic Circle. Renee Starr has her Celestial Magic course, Calling Down the Stars. We have priestessing courses with Anne Key, shaman courses with Catherine Ravenwood. You know, there's something for everyone. Brandi Alcett as well just released her chakra meditations, which is kind of like a mini digest of just the meditations from her longer chakra course. So I encourage you. And of course, you are all invited to come and chant with me with my malas and mantras for spiritual practice. So all kinds of good stuff, you know, and sometimes, as we're in this retrograde season, this is a really great time to kind of reevaluate your path and what you're doing. The Mars retrograde in particular may be calling us to question kind of our vocations, our callings, and where we're headed. So take advantage to maybe look at the spiritual path that you're on, look at the career path that you're on, and start thinking about, what is your heart's desire and what are you being called to do in the world? Now, it looks like, okay, crossing fingers, and I hope Pamela can hear me and you all can hear me okay. I wanted to welcome our guest tonight, Pamela Eakins. She is a scribe, poet, professor, mediator, and peacemaker. She's also an amazing priestess, teacher, and author. She has taught at University of Colorado and Stanford University. She holds a doctorate in sociology from the University of Colorado at Boulder, and she's the author of The Lightning Papers, Wild Voracious Love, Heart, Breath, and Graceful Movement, The Tarot, The Spirit Priestess, Passages for a Spiritual Birth, The American Way of Birth, and Mothers in Transition. I first encountered her as an author with her book Priestess, which is absolutely amazing. I highly recommend it. All of her books are available on Amazon, and you can also check out her website, PamelaEakins.net, and that's PamelaEakins.net. So let's see if we can get this back end here to work and get Pamela on. Pamela, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm here.
Yay! Oh, I'm so glad. Yes.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. All right. I'm so happy. You know, technology.
It's wonderful when it works.
It's wonderful, but, you know, it's a learning curve. Yeah, I mean, you just never know, right? Things happen and you never know, but it is such a miracle. But it's a new learning continually. You know, just what a teacher. Anyway,
it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always have a joke that it could be Mercury retrograde any time on Blog Talk Radio, although we're blessed for their service. But when
right.
we've got double duty
right.
going here, it can be challenging.
Right.
So welcome and thank you so much for being here. And it's such an honor to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it's just great that it's worked out. You know, it's worked out and here we are. It's just wonderful. Fabulous. Beltane. Beautiful.
It is. How beautiful is that? So for our listeners, can you give us a little bit of background and kind of how you came to be on your path and the evolution of that?
Oh, my gosh. What a big question. Okay.
Yes.
I believe, let's talk about the women's spirituality movement. How about that idea?
Yes.
That's totally wild. The women's spirituality movement. So as we all know, there was a major civil rights movement that happened, you know, 50s and 60s, and then, you know, the women's movement. And when I was 15, I lived in Denver, and the very first women's consciousness raising group started. I don't know if anyone even remembers that whole thing, but it was women's consciousness raising. I went to the group. It was absolutely incredible. I went a few times. I got kicked out. They kicked me. My sister kicked me out because I was too young and because I didn't understand, you know, the real problems that they were dealing with, because they'd be 30, they were 30, you know, or 25, you know. So, and I was 15 and they had kids and they were married and all. But I pledged. However, I've always been, I guess, dedicated. You said, like, what's your calling? Well, I have always had strong calling. So I dedicated myself to women's rights. And I think that's where it began and went from there. Because, you know, then I went in, long story short, you know, I went to college. You know, women's rights was always a thing. I've been around for a lot of these breakthroughs. Like, I was around for the first women's studies department at the University of Colorado. I was around for the first women's research department at Stanford University. I was around for the first women's spirituality department that was at the California Institute of Integral Studies. And I just followed this path. And, you know, and it has been coming alive for me from the beginning, you know, and I'm still there. So, yeah, and, you know, have done the round of apprenticeships and teaching, and for many, many, you know, countless years teaching women's spirituality, goddess circles, you know, the whole thing. There's one little story, though, that's gnawing at me that I want to tell, and it's an old story, and then I'm going to stop talking right now. Here's an ancient story. Yeah, so I was in graduate school, and in sociology, that's my field, right? So I wanted to do my dissertation on women's adult life stages. And this was just before the breakout of the women's spirituality movement. So, and my professors, there were 20, this was a huge department of sociology, 29 professors and in sociology. And there were thousands of undergraduate students in sociology and a lot of graduate students. So, and of those 29 professors, only 3 were women. So they were all men. Basically, they were all men. And somehow the women were leaving or this or that while I was going through it. And I wound up with a committee that was all men. So I had a thesis advisor, you know, a man. So I say, I want to do my dissertation on women's adult life stages, which I thought was great, you know. And my thesis advisor said to me, don't do anything on women. Don't do anything that's just about women. That would be a huge mistake in your career. Because if you do that, you are going to wind up, this is a direct quote, you are going to wind up relegated to the ghetto of women's studies.
And I
and I was absolutely taken aback by that. I was complete, and I said to him, wow, really? Oh, my gosh. And I said, this is so strange. I don't even know how to respond to this. And I said, I am a woman. I am a woman. He didn't even get, you know, what he was saying. He didn't understand, you know. And so I went ahead and did it anyway. And, you know, and then the very next thing was, the ghetto of women's studies. I did wind up in the ghetto of women's studies at Stanford University. So it was pretty awesome to be, you know, right in the heart. It was great. I was part of it. So I went to Stanford in 1981. So this tells you how old I am. So Stanford in 1981, and worked with a lot of the people who were right at the beginning of this women's spirituality movement that was really taken off starting about 1979. So that's my story. Worked in birth for many, many years in childbirth. You know, that's the hotbed of women's wisdom, you know. So anyway, that's a little bit about my story. So it's been a lifelong tale, lifelong. Yeah. So that's it, Kimberly.
That is amazing, you know, Pamela. I think that, you know, it's so interesting to me to hear, you know, some of these beginning stories. I'm 46, so, and I really, when I moved down here to South Florida, I was 23, and that's kind of when I encountered a community for the first time and encountered some, you know, really great books over those next couple of years, like your book, Priestess, and, you know, books by Vicki Noble and Janine Cannon and Carol Christ and everything. So, you know, it's so wonderful to connect with so many of you amazing women that really blazed trails in the ghettos, apparently.
I can't get over that word. Still, you know.
And what's really intensely amazing, I think, is that we're really just talking about things that happened like 30 or 40 years ago. And so how do you look at what has changed and what hasn't changed?
What has changed and what hasn't changed? So we've made a lot of headway as women. So one of the great women I came across a long time ago was Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And she said, this is 1840, right? So she said, nothing is ever going to change until we're able to basically get rid of the Bible. Because, you know, there are too many places in the Bible where it's impossible to work with that. And, you know, you probably know, she did create something called the Women's Bible back then, way back then. And, you know, and Mary Wollstonecraft was doing her work before that on 1789, Vindication of the Rights of Women. Okay, so how far have we come? It's really a little bit difficult to tell. I mean, I think we're making headway, but so right now I am immersed in the study of Islam, and I do a lot of different, I'm very, very interested in spirituality, you know, and my path is a deeply spiritual path, and I'm looking at Islam, and, you know, and I think, you know, people are really familiar with both in Christianity. I can't wait to get the book you were talking about, Christianity, Jesus, Muhammad, and the Goddess, because I hadn't heard about that book. So I'm like, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to order it. Thank you for mentioning it. Thank you for writing it, because, you know, we know that, you know, that all the, quote, idols were thrown out basically in Christianity and Muhammad, and I mean Christianity and Islam, and when we're talking about the whole goddess movement has been, the whole idea behind the goddess movement is that we need images in our own, partly we've got to have images in our own likeness to understand ourselves better, or, you know, just wake up. I'm talking to myself. You know, I'm not talking to, when I say wake up, I'm talking to myself. Don't take it personally. You know, I'm talking to myself and I'm saying, wake up, you know, wake up and look at the birthing, at the creation, at, you know, who's responsible for all this, you know, where does this come from? And, you know, there's a big part of it that feels feminine to me, or non-gendered. Just, this is like, this is a miracle. We live inside a miracle. And the miracle is so alive, brilliantly alive. And this fabulousness. And anyway, so it's like, well, how far have we come with that? Well, you know, another little story I had is, so I wasn't raised in a religion. So I wasn't raised Christian or Jewish or whatever. I wasn't raised in any religion. So I was a free-range pagan child, and I really was interested in what these religions were trying to say, because I felt a little like an outsider. So the very first time I went to church, a Christian church, to listen to the sermon, I was 10 years old. And the minister, this is my friend, I had an accomplice, I dragged around everything I wanted to do, and she and I explored all the religions together. So here we were, 10 years old, we're in a big church full of people. We are listening. We have other friends, they're in Sunday school, right? But we're listening to the sermon, because that's what we were there for. We were there for the education. And so the minister started reading out of the Bible, and the whole sermon was about how women need to serve their husbands, the whole thing. And he was giving all these quotes, and we were sitting there shocked. We were embarrassed. We were shocked. We were humiliated. We started poking each other. We listen to that. Can you believe that guy's saying that? And we started laughing. And we started laughing. That was our reaction. We started laughing until we were laughing like uncontrollably, and we were having these outbursts of laughter, and, you know, because we were only 10 and humiliated, and we didn't know how to respond. Anyway, and he caught us, the minister, because you couldn't get out of that church without talking to him because of the way the doors were set up. So he caught us on the way out, grabbed us, you know, and said, "All right, what's so funny, girls, you girls?" And we couldn't even express ourselves. But anyway, Kate, that, how far have we come? I'm still on this question, how far have we come? That is still sitting there. It's still sitting there. It's in the Bible. And it's in the Quran, you know. And so, okay. So, you know, what do we do? And I'm really, really thrilled that women have just, basically taken it into their own hands and said, okay, we're just going to do something, we're going to sidestep that. You know, we're going to do something different because we feel something different. This is like Gnostic, you know, it's like gnosis. We feel something different in our hearts. And so, you know what we're going to do? We're going to step into that. You know, what's your calling? How do you feel? Okay, here's how I feel. I feel awestruck by this amazing universe, and I'm going to value myself in this amazing universe, and I'm going to start to feel something. And I'm going to start right there. It's like I'm going to try to feel the dance in my feet and my legs and my hips and my arms and my shoulders and my breasts and my head. And I'm going to start dancing. I'm going to have to feel it, though. I'm going to have to feel that and wake up to it. And I think, you know, this is a lot of what is going on in reclaiming, of course, past history and then making up a new future. But we can do this thing. Freedom. It's all about, we have to claim our freedom, right? Yeah. We have to claim that we have to claim our mental, we have to say, I am mentally healthy, and, you know, say that it's okay. I am free. I am mentally healthy. I refuse to accept false images of limitation and things that ought not be. And I'm going for it, no matter what. So I think that's kind of where we are right now. And we're on the edge of a mystery.
It's so interesting, Pamela, because I haven't encountered too many other people who weren't raised without religion besides myself. So I was really excited when you said that. And I was same situation.
Oh, good. Okay.
Total heathen child. Nobody told me no, and I just kind of, you know, precociously came up with my own ideas. And and then I encountered the first time I was ever in church was on my first day of Catholic school when I was 8. And my parents sent me to the nuns for the education. And and I remember I didn't feel humiliated. I was angry. as you can only be at 8 years old, when you find out that you can't have the cool job of the priest. And that was what really pissed me off.
And the nuns
were a little shocked that I would even ask, how could I become a priest? Because I thought it was pretty neat. And, you know, that you could stand up there and talk and you led the congregation, and I just thought all that kind of was kind of neat. So so that's really funny, you know, these, and it is a bit being like an outsider, because I, even now all these years later, I don't feel like I have the same knee jerks as some other people have who were really, you know, were brought up with certain religions, where I can step back and kind of go, I don't really get that, but okay.
really resonate.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But I also think that there's been some really exciting things that have gone on within the traditional frameworks and bringing back the divine feminine. Yes, absolutely. When I found out that Trista Hendren, who is the woman who created the Girl God, if you've heard of the site and the book and everything, the Girl God, Trista then, this book that she just recently put out, Jesus, Muhammad, and the Goddess, is an anthology. So there's multiple contributors sharing their experiences and everything. If you're studying anything about Islam, there are some really fascinating articles because, you know, I didn't have a lot of information about that. So I got the Kindle version and read it in half of a day. It was really interesting. So what do you think, Pamela, about, and I love that quote from Elizabeth Cady Stanton, we need to get rid of the Bible, because especially in light of our political situation and how one of our parties has certainly been hijacked by a very scary Christian right. What do you think about traditional frameworks and the divine feminine and their evolution? And is it possible with some of these religions like the evangelical Christians or Islam or anything? Is there a place for the divine feminine?
I always lean into the mystical. That's mainly my background. I do a lot of study because I also have a scholarly streak. I like to study, and I've studied comparative religion. I really enjoy that because it satisfies me intellectually. But the core of my being when it comes to that is the mystical realm. And in the mystical realm, that's where I think major headway can be made, or is made. And the thing is mysticism. It's like that's something that goes beyond words, beyond writing. And yet, you know, there are all kinds of things that people can do to impact or to write about it. Like, for example, take Rumi. Okay, so there's a man, but you know, there's a sheikh, there's a Muslim teacher who writes all about love, and it transcends something like the position of women or something like that, or what's called for in the particular religion. It just moves completely beyond anything that is the religion itself, you know. And some of these fabulous, well, like one of the books that I just really love is, it's about the rosary, about Mary and the rosary. It's Kirsten Lohr Weber. It's called Circle of Mysteries. It is so beautiful.
Isn't that a great book? Oh, it's stunningly beautiful.
I love it. She steps right up. She doesn't even quote the prayers in the book, the specific rosary prayers. She steps right out of it into the mystical zone of her own amazing being. And, you know, this is one of the things that we start seeing these books, they do come out, you know, that we see these books and they do influence people, and they can have a widespread influence. I'm just saying that about books because, you know, writing is my medium. So, you know, I'm constantly, you know, trying to find a way through words and, you know, that way, trying to work at it that way. But I'm not that as interested in, let's say, transforming the religions as I am interested in proactively helping people transform their own consciousness, you know, like, for example, with the Tarot of the Spirit. So that's the Tarot of the Spirit really got me moving. I did the Tarot of the Spirit before I did Priestess. And in Tarot of the Spirit, it's mostly about questions. It's like looking at, okay, how can my life, what is my calling? I'm back to that again, just because you mentioned that earlier in your intro, and that feels very significant to me. What is my calling? What's my heart's desire? Who am I really? And where am I going? And so you know, oracles are great for that. And this is a movement too, you know, the oracle, I'll just call it the oracle movement, because when we did our tarot deck, there were 7 tarot decks on the market, 7. And and now there are thousands and thousands. I mean, you couldn't count them if you tried. It's a part of a movement. And the movement is for people to find their way, you know, individually. So we're going back to finding our way individually, you know, and back to, you know, you are the one, you're the change, you're the one we've been waiting for, you know, it's you, you know, I'm the one I've been looking for. And it's like, there's the answer. There's a big, I for me, this is the answer. And it happens like one by one, you know, one by one, everyone comes to remember. We're healing the world one heart at a time. You know, that is what it's all about. That's what it's about. And then the science, too, I think is having a huge impact. And then my brand new book is called Visionary Cosmology, The New Paradigm. And that is about who am I, what is my calling, and it's based on science, especially some of the things that have happened that we've all heard about, you know, in quantum physics and so on. But it's new. This stuff is new, you know, brand new in our consciousness. And it sets up some amazing challenges to us in terms of, well, who are we? Because what we're learning, you know, the Hubble's out there. And what we're learning is, whoa, we're not who we thought we were. The universe is not out there somewhere. It's not up there. It's not out there someplace. Guess what? We're it. We're part of it. This earth, you know, this pale blue dot, as Carl Sagan called it, you know, or Joseph Campbell, you know, talking about the iconic image of our time is the earth, the picture of the earth from the moon. Things are different than we thought. And all of that is working together to make this gigantic, plus the internet, you know, not to forget the internet, the Arab Spring, you know, to make a gigantic change that is global. It's the entire human species. And one more thing I want to throw in there, the massive things that we are now learning, and this is cool, about plants and plant communication, and plants are not what we thought they were, and all that, and animals, and animal culture, animal business, animal exchanges, you know, very, very complex. It's not like anything we ever thought. So right there, that takes the, you know, page 3 or whatever it is of the Bible, the whole thing about dominion, who gets dominion over who and all that, it just removes it right out from under us. So I think all of those things are extremely exciting, extremely positive, you know, so it's not just about, let's say, women and the goddess, but it's about earth, the you know, ecology, the animals, the plants, the oceans, the air, everything, you know, all of it, and having a different kind of perspective, a different worldview, a different paradigm. And that's what we're all doing together. We are creating right now probably a multitude of paradigms. And these new paradigms, they're really new paradigms. In terms of the definition of what a paradigm is, we are issuing a new paradigm. But it's too easy to say that, a new paradigm. So we have to say a multitude. I'm making this up right now, but, you know, it's like a multitude of paradigms are now emerging. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to say it's a new paradigm. Like, my book is called Visionary Cosmology, The New Paradigm. But the truth is, I know it is not the new paradigm. It is a part of the paradigm that's emerging, or, you know, an aspect of this amazing new consciousness that we are all bringing out together, you know, alone and together. So anyway, it's so exciting. I think I diverged quite a bit from the question, but anyway, it's very exciting.
Yes, very, very,
very exciting.
And I love how you weave tarot and Kabbalah through everything. So can you tell us how that has been foundational for Visionary Cosmology, for your evolution and your project now?
Oh, okay. You're just asking me these great, magnificent questions. So, and then it brings up these stories. So when I was at Stanford, so I'm not like this card-carrying person. I was a briefcase-carrying person, and I was trying to fit in. And having been kind of this little, as I mentioned, this sort of little pagan free range, and now I'll throw in kind of hippie girl too. And so now all of a sudden, you know, I'm at Stanford and I'm supposed to be a professional, because this is, you know, postgraduate. I mean, I was a professional then, and I'm trying to fit in. And I was trying, and I was the head of a big research project actually. But I also found it a little confining, actually quite confining, because my imagination and my feeling of my own creativity just was soaring beyond that. Oh, and I got busted for teaching women's goddess circles outside the university. And, you know, they told me, I actually was called in and told that this wasn't the image they wanted for Stanford. And I'm like, oh, really? Anyway, anyway, yeah, oh my gosh. I could go on about that, which I will not. But one day I met a woman, this mysterious woman, and I was at a restaurant and was by my house, and basically she said to me, she spotted me, and she said to me, I have been waiting here for you for 2 months, and you're to apprentice with me starting tomorrow. And I said, oh, I don't think so. You know, I've got to go to work, you know. No. Oh, boy. And she says, no, you're not going to work. You're not. You are apprenticing with me, and this is how it begins. And, well, she got me because I've always been up for an adventure, you know. So I say, well, maybe I won't go to work. Let me think. And but at that time, I actually had a secretary, and I called up my secretary and I said, well, I'm going to work at home today, which was very unusual because people didn't do that back then. But I'm going to work at home. So I start an apprenticeship with this woman, and she says to me, the first thing she says to me, is you are going to create a tarot deck. Now, I had a tarot deck that I got in about 1971. I kept it. I had it the whole time. So anyway, it was under the bed with the rest of the things that were mysterious, and I was trying to keep myself on the straight and narrow and stay away from all these things that just intrigued me like crazy, like tarot. So anyway, she says, you're going to write a tarot deck. You're going to make a tarot deck. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. That would ruin my career. And she's like, oh, no, you are. And it's going to be balanced, light and dark, male and female. And that's the way it's going to be. And she said, the first thing you're going to do, I'm making this story short, but the first thing you're going to do is you're going to sit down and you're going to read for me. And I said, oh, I don't know how. And she said, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. So I sit down. She gives me the deck and she says, read. And so that deck was, the one I had was the weight deck, and the one she put in front of me was the Crowley deck, which I had not seen. So I sat in front of her, and it was like I knew how to do it, something. I just knew how to do it. I don't know. You know, these things, who knows where all this comes from. So I read the cards. Well, it turns out that I didn't realize in that moment, but Crowley deck, of course, and the weight deck, of course, are Kabbalistic tarot decks. And that means that they are structured on the basis of the tree of life, the Kabbalah and the tree of life, which, and not all tarot decks are, but both of those are. And the tarot of the spirit is very much a Kabbalistic tarot deck. So what that means is, well, right after that, actually, I joined 3 Western mystery schools, and I started learning all about it. Not one, but 3. That's me. You know, I can't just be in one. I've got to be in 3. You know, you got to have 3 because you have to have a comparison to make sure, you know, that you're on the right track, right? That was my research. You have to have 3 sources to make sure, separate sources, not 3 quoting Wikipedia, but to know that something's right, you have to have 3 independent sources. So I joined 3 mystery schools. This is me. So anyway, there I am learning all about the Kabbalah. And so Kabbalah is, so I should say, I'm going to switch my language right now and call it the tree of life. So the tree of life gives an outflow. It's an ancient outflow based on the numbers 1 through 10. It goes back to ancient Egypt and Pythagoras. That's a long story. But anyway, number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and the tarot cards go like that. You know, there are 4 suits and then 1 through 10. So I know who's ever listening probably has their favorite tarot deck because it's, you know, it's so common these days. So anyway, we have this number outflow. Well, it turns out in the ancient tree of life, the number outflow is the outflow that creates the universe. And this is from the very ancient Egyptian mysteries, because we didn't always have a base 10 system. You know, that was a new thing. That was Egyptian. And then it got transferred to Greece by Pythagoras, the base 10 system. I mean, his life was threatened for bringing the base 10 system to Greece because it disrupted trade and all this other stuff. You know, it was a different way of counting. Instead of just, I'm going to trade you this group of sheep for that, you know, those pairs or something like that, all of a sudden now people could count and, you know, do something in a different way. Okay, so anyway, it's this base 10 system, but it's also in the with the ancient Kabbalah, it shows how the universe is created. From first, there's one. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there's one. Okay, so the one would be like you, like you're the one. And I mean, there's more than that. So I'm just going to give like one level of it. But then the number two is you and something else. So the something else could be another person, or it could be your calling, since we're kind of on that today, you know, or something that you're drawn to. So you come together with the number two, whatever that is, and out of one plus the other one comes number three. And three is the creation. So like, let's say, so we have Kimberly, that's going to be number one is Kimberly. And then, and then number two is Blogspot Radio. That's an attraction. And then number three is a fabulous radio show that gets produced out of that. And so, and then it goes on. Four stabilizes it. Five is when you have the Mercury retrograde thing that messes the whole thing up. Six is restabilization. Seven is going deeper with it. You know, so each one has a meaning. Okay, but it also has to do with the creation of the universe and, you know, the outflow of the creation of the universe. So what I've done so into it, into the Kabbalah and the outflow of the Tree of Life, that I took that 1 through 10, and, for example, the Priestess book that you mentioned is based on the outflow of the creation of the universe 1 through 10, and it takes this kind of past life experience of my soul. Well, these are like past life memories, but the past lives were, it starts in ancient Mesopotamia, 3000 BC, and then it goes through like basically 10 past lives. And then, well, it goes 9 past lives and then 1 future life. But the outflow of those lives is actually based on the Tree of Life and the flow of the Kabbalah. And then the new book, which is Visionary Cosmology, The New Paradigm, just takes the exact outflow of the Kabbalah and shows how contemporary science is working inside this exact outflow of this 1 through 10 mystery, which is contained inside the Tarot. And I also have a mystery school, too. You know, so many mystery schools right now, but I have a mystery school, Pacific Mystery School, which is the Western Mystery School. And what by that I mean, it's Tarot and Kabbalah. And so we are working with that outflow, and we're trying to develop ourselves or learn about ourselves within that flow. Like, who am I really? Oh, you know, I am living universe on the path of its own creation. That's who I really am. And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? That's where we begin, right there. And then, you know, we open this into possibility of vistas unimagined for ourselves, our own lives, and for our culture and our world. You know, so anyway, but it starts with that mystery, that the mystery of how can we move forward. And it's already outlined for us and has been outlined for us since at least ancient Egypt, how to work inside these energies. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that even makes sense. It does to me, because, you know, I know that, and that's been a big part of my life. And that person who took me under her wing and told me I was going to apprentice with her, she's the one who introduced me to the Kabbalistic system. She said, "You are looking at the Kabbalah. You know, this is what you are looking at." And I didn't know anything about it, and it wasn't part of our culture at that time. No one had heard the word. you know, it wasn't around. So it is now. It is now, you know, it's pretty widespread. But back then it was something that was extremely unknown. So anyway, yeah, Kabbalah, Tarot, that's been a really big part of my path, a huge part
it
of my path.
It gives you such a different, well, it's a different language, isn't it? And funny enough, the Crowley deck has been my deck that I read with for about 23 years now. I mean, I've been studying Kabbalah for about 20, so I get it. Like, I looked at your images with your tarot and I mean, your Eight of Fire, the lightning path, it's stunning, you know, in its power. So it's so interesting to see how you have layered this, you know, into now, you know, your next steps and evolution. That's absolutely beautiful. Really
right.
Beautiful.
The tarot of the spirit was painted, every single card is painted on a diagram of the tree of life so that you can see which parts are illuminated, you know, in the colors. It's all the Kabbalistic colors, and you can see which parts of that energy are illuminated. So that card, the Eight of Fire, that shows, actually it shows the entire tree of life fully illuminated, you know, in these beautiful blues and this brilliant red. It's called the lightning path, brilliant red lightning path. Well, Kabbalistically, the lightning path is when, or the lightning flash is when suddenly, this is good, Kimberly. So you'll get this. So the lightning flash, of course, as you already know, but maybe some other people don't, the lightning flash happens when everything is illuminated at once. And all of a sudden you stand back and you see the whole picture, you know, how everything fits together. And you say, oh, so instead of looking at it piecemeal, as we tend to do, we look at our lives piecemeal, where we're trying to go in a piecemeal way. Mm-hmm. We see the whole thing illuminated at once. And then all of a sudden we say, ah, okay, now I understand. You know, it's all in alignment. And we can also see, once we see the whole picture, where to intervene and how to make things happen, you know, rather than being overwhelmed. Like, oh, this is so overwhelming. But there are many intervention points. And I think that's what we're doing. Like, this is what you're doing. You know, you found these beautiful intervention points where you can really be the change. And I think that's what a lot of us are doing. You know, we're not being overwhelmed. We're saying, okay, I'm going to proactively pick this thing, and I'm going to do it. And it fits somewhere in that big picture, you know, seeing the whole picture at once. And that's the Eight of Fire. That's the card that you mentioned. Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us about Pacific Mystery School and what kind of opportunities our listeners might find there, and the URL for everyone listening is lightningspiral.com. So
right,
you can check it out.
Yeah, you can look at lightningspiral.com, or you can type in Pacific Mystery School. That's just all one word, and it'll pop up. So that's the Tarot Kabbalah Mystery School, where we work with Tarot and Kabbalah. And look at what are the deep meanings of the Tree of Life. And we actually work with the Tarot. We work with the Tarot of the Spirit. So we take it step by step. And with each card, basically, we're going into some very deep aspects of our lives. And I also, in the Mystery School, I have put the science part in too, so that we're looking at, okay, how is this also impacted by contemporary science, some of the things that have come about, some of the research and the results that have come about with contemporary science, like how is this changing our consciousness of that? Because the way I think of this, and I just feel like you do too, is we look at this as what is called the living Kabbalah. In the Western Mystery School, it's alive and it's changing. It's not like we're looking at something that happened in ancient Egypt and then it never changed again. It is something that that was happening then that came into that place, we can identify it because we know, you know, from history and the way it's been passed down in Greece, you know, but this is alive. This is alive, and our religions are alive too. They are not dead and static. They are changing, and they are going to continue to change. And knowing that, we can become part of that process in whatever way we want. So I have the Tarot. What I'm doing is I have the Tarot Kabbalah, Tarot and Kabbalah, basically Mystery School. That's Pacific Mystery School. And then this year, this in June, whoa, now I'm taking off another bite because I'm starting an actual seminary. Now, I have run a seminary before, but this is going to be a new one. So this one is, it's called Terra Nova, Terra, T-E-R-R-A, Nova, N-O-V-A, Seminary. And Terra Nova Seminary means new ground seedbed, basically is what it means. And what we are doing... Well, so this one's different, and it's different than the Mystery School. But so some of the people from the Mystery School will be going into Terra Nova. You don't have to do the Mystery School first, but for our basic textbooks, two of our basic, we're going to use books, some books, and two of our basic textbooks are going to be my book, which is called Kabbalah and Tarot of the Spirit, and then the other book, Visionary Cosmology, The New Paradigm. So we're starting with these books, but then we're doing... We're looking at the world's religions, but we're looking at the mystical aspects of it, and we're looking at women's spirituality. That's going to be, of course, a really big part that runs through, especially most of the people are women, but there will be men, too. There are some men, which is going to be interesting. And so it doesn't start till June, but there we go. And so we're actually going to be going through a two-year program studying these different religions. That's why I'm immersed in Islam right now, because I'm on the Islam place, like as I'm preparing the seminary. Yeah, so we're going to be looking at Islam. And then in the end, people are ordained, so they will be, you know, practicing as official, you know, legal officiants of the sacred. And so that's going to be fun. We're doing, you know, weddings. We're doing all the, what you would think of as the usual, you know, weddings, funerals, memorials, baby blessings, blessings, you know, things that, I mean, this is, okay, so how is this different from the goddess work? Because I have done, you know, years and years and years of women circles, goddess circles, studying the goddess, immersing in the goddess, doing ritual, inside that energy and all that. Okay, this is a little different because I'm making a step to, this is something for me. I'm making a step to now go forward, I don't know which way it is, into again, you know, again, like bringing in the religions that are being practiced on this planet and taking a really deep, as deep as possible, because basically it's mystical at its base, but we're also going to be looking at the religions. And then if people want to, they can, we're basically going to be developing our own religion. And I don't mean my religion, but I mean each person is going to be looking at her own really deep values and coming out of it as an ordained, you could call yourself a priestess or a priest, but it's going to be a literal officiant of the sacred, no matter what state you're in the United States. And there are some people from around the world who will be participating in the first class. So the first class starts June 18th, and that is going to be quite an experience for me. So, and I think for everybody else too. So this is the very new, very cutting edge thing. And the foundation is love. Love. Love embraces all religions, all nations, all genders, all races, all classes, all ages. Love knows no bounds. And so the idea is like, let's get it together, people. We are all children of the same universe. So this is my next, like, okay, let's see how this goes. Okay.
Wow. Anyway,
so that's it. That's it, Kimberly. So we'll see. I'll let you know. how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months, that's how it's huge. Going anyway.
Yeah, it's a huge undertaking, but I, you know, I really commend you. And I'm, you know, for our listeners, I'm looking at PamelaEakins.net, and then at the top there, you go to Terra Nova Seminary, and it lays it out really beautifully as to, you know, what the program is and the courses are including. And, I mean, you have really taken on an enormously beautiful project here. I mean, this is amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, it's really fun. You know, this stuff is all fun, right? In the, I mean, in the end, it's like, wow, this is challenging. This is fun. And, you know, it's exciting. It's our calling. That's why we do what we do, because we love it, right? We love it.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, and we love it so much, we'll risk our lives to do it. I mean, that's it. You only live once. It's, well, actually, you only live once. I'm not sure about that. Especially having written a book about past lives. But anyway, it's short. Life is short. What else do we have to do? You know, let's just go for it and just make it happen. So anyway, and I don't need to say that to you. That is what you are doing big time. So yeah.
Really, really beautiful. What really great things. And, you know, it's so true about the Kabbalah, too, and how important it is, in my opinion, for many spiritual studies, because, you know, as Dion Fortune said, it's like the, you know, it's like a file folder for life. Everything fits into the Tree of Life.
Totally.
Everything fits into the Kabbalah. And it just gives you this, you know, it's a lot like Sanskrit. You know, once you begin working with Sanskrit, it just gives you this amazingly expansive language that encompasses everything. Yeah. And so I really dig that. It's so cool. You're doing this.
That
I love
is such
it.
A good way to put it. And of course, you know, with the seminary I'm talking about, which I say of course, but Terra Nova Seminary, of course, we will be following those steps as we work through. Mm-hmm. So we start with, you know, the zero. There's a zero place before you get to one. And the zero is the context of the whole thing. You know, what does it emerge from? And there we're starting with the Upanishads, which are all about the nature of the universe. You know, and then from the Upanishads, after we, you know, move through that, then we start moving into the one. You know, what is the definition of the one? And right now I'm just thinking of the one as the human, because the one can also be the one massive creatress of all that is or whatever. But right now I'm thinking of the human. You know, what is the one? And then and how does that out? What is the out? How does that come out? How do we get defined, too, by religions and, you know, other social systems that define us? And then how can we break out of the boundaries of that to find ever new layers of truth, you know? And then what are we attracted to, and what do we fall in love with? And when we get into the part about attraction and love, we're going to be going into bhakti, which is another Hindu system, bhakti yoga, which is just incredible. It's all about love and, you know, love and the love of the divine. You know, and then we're also going to do the sacred masculine. I don't want to explain that right now, but it's connected. You know, but it's too hard to explain. It's connected with the number two. And then we will be going from that. And the sacred masculine includes, like, Jesus and the Buddha and Muhammad, you know, and so on. But then we get to the three. I wasn't rushing there. I was trying to get up to the three, because in the three is where we go into, as I was saying earlier, you know, there's like Kimberly, and then there's the attraction to Blogspot Radio, and then there's a wonderful radio program, which is birth, giving birth. And the three is all about giving birth, and that is the place that is all about the goddess, the divine mother, the sacred feminine, you know, and all of that. So we're just going right through the Kabbalistic number system. And I love the way that you describe it as a language, because it is absolutely a language. And once you master it, doesn't take too long. Actually, at first glance, you can really get into it. And then, but you can just keep deepening your knowledge through life science. But at first glance, you can get it. You know, already you can get it. Deepens and deepens and deepens. And definitely that is that's the foundation for the language, the languaging that I'm using. Even for academic things now, I would use that same language. I would use that catalytic outflow for an academic paper. I'm serious about that. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh, how wonderful. Well, you know, about 6 months ago, I think it probably was, I ordered the Radiant Sutras and the Lauren Roche translation. And, you know, when you talk about bhakti and love and devotion and everything, and you know what's, I think it's so beautiful about exploring all of these different traditions and teachings and everything is that, you know, as you said, you have to have at least three examples, but then you really get into the comparative and you realize it really is all the same. There's so much sameness in all of it. It's beautiful, you know?
Right.
So I love that it all fits together.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
It all makes sense from that vantage point. You know, it all of it makes sense. But again, we can find intervention points. We can at least find out, you know, what our values are. It's a way of clarifying what we value and things we don't value too, you know, and those things that we don't value, those are the things that we're not going to go forward with anymore. You know, we will refuse to engage in those things that ought not be. We're not going to do it anymore. And, you know, we're really fortunate right now in this particular country in this time and place to be able to explore some of these issues. You know, not everywhere we would be able to do that. You know, we would be imprisoned for what we're trying to do. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that amount of freedom. And, I mean, we can't always count on having that amount of freedom, but right now we have it, you know. And so it's like, okay, let's cherish this moment. Let's be part of the moment and realize the bigger picture. There's the bigger picture again. But realize the fortuitousness of being able to step into this river of change and open some of the doors that want to be open right now, and that we have the ability to do that through our sharing, through our writing, you know, through all of our art forms. I mean, every art form that anybody's engaged in, and then basically the art of our own lives, you know, the way, you know, it's like society, and this is from my, you know, sociology, from my background in sociology, society is not, it's not that we're born into this society and it's static. It is like a living being. It's like a beast. And the way that we change this living being is by changing routines in our own personal lives. When we change certain routines and we change our roles, suddenly, you know, the whole thing is shifting, but it's always moving and changing. So just by looking at, you know, who are we, what is important to us, what do I value, and then just changing even small things in our lives, in our daily lives, the whole culture begins to shift. And we've got a lot more power than we realize. So there we are.
Beautiful. I love what you're doing, Pamela. This is really exciting. So I want to, again, you know, just for our listeners, if you're interested in what Pamela is exploring here, and you said you're beginning in June, so will that be the only entry point for people, will be beginning in June? Will you open it
well,
up
right
next
now,
year?
Right
next
now, we're starting. We're going to start a class. It's going to be, but people could be anywhere in the world. It's okay. But we're going to start a first class in June, and then because this is so new, I'm going to just sort of feel the energies to you know how it's going, and you know theoretically, I would start another class. You know, later, but I'm not sure exactly when. So it's experimental. It's definitely experimental. And we shall see what happens. You know, I'm just putting the word out right now. And yeah, June 18th, because I will, so I live in the San Francisco area. So I'm in the Bay Area. And we will be having a small group meeting in the Bay Area June 18th as our first day. But there will be an accompanying group, so to speak, that will be throughout the, you know, United States. But I expect it to be pretty small and, you know, different parts of the world. Like right now, there's somebody from England, someone from New Zealand, someone from Latvia, which is by Russia, signed up, you know, and just a few other places in the world. And so we're just going to start and we're going to work this together. I've made basically the outline, the books. And this is, you know, this is for my long teaching career in both inside and outside of the, you know, academic situation. And also because I did teach in a seminary, too, for actually 20 years. That's another story, but let's don't go into that right now. So anyway, all these stories and, you know, see what happens. You get me started and whoa. But so that's what we'll be doing. So we'll start with the initial group. And right now I'm just sitting back and, like, seeing who is called to this group. I'm just putting out the word a little bit about it, and it'll probably be a fairly small group to begin with. And then we'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty excited about it, quite excited, very excited. Yeah. Yeah, and then the mystery school, I don't know if, oh, go ahead.
Let me just ask quickly because, you know, some people may be wondering, do you need to have any prior experience?
No, but a lot of people do have a lot of prior experience because what I've noticed is with the people who are signing up, no, you don't need to have any, but some of the people signing up already are like priestesses, you know, way on the path, way on the path. And several people are already ordained with religions or, you know, something. They're already ordained with another, with whatever, you know, some background, big background. So right now I'm noticing that the people are, so far, are people who they've had a lot of experience, but they're wanting change, you know, and looking for the next step on the path. And this is really experimental because I would say this is really a new next step. It's different than the things that have gone before. But no experience is necessary, absolutely not. And I ranked the readings. Like one of the things that I did so that you could take it at your own pace, so to speak, is I ranked the readings in each section. So like anything that has a red start, that's really, really important. You've got to read that. Anything, and so a lot of people would have already read that maybe, you know, and then the next level down is like green star, you've got to look at this if you have time. This is superb, you know, and blue star is, hey, this is really interesting if you really want to go deeply. So it's, people have the option of doing it at their own pace, adding their own, not really their own pace, but at their own depths, wherever they are. And, of course, adding anything that they want to study to it, you know, and it'll be open. Like, I can't wait to get Jesus, Muhammad, and the goddess because, you know, that is exactly where I'm at right now. It's like, okay, we're going to explore how these various things it together. First, we're going to understand Jesus. Then we're going to understand Muhammad. Actually, we started with the goddess. We already have some understanding of the goddess. Now we're going to look at how those things fit together. So I'm on that wavelength. And, you know, what are the, how does this mesh and what does it mean? But the more important thing is not learning about. Learning about is really important because it's going to help us communicate with each other. But the more important thing is being inside And that means like being inside your own mystery. That's mm-hmm. what's really important. And so we're going to learn about, but the objective is to take us inside, you know, and inside our own purpose, our own meaning, and, you know, our own creativity. Yeah, so that's coming up soon. And then the Pacific Mystery School starts 4 times a year. So the next one's going to be July 1st. So I'm looking forward to that, too. So those are my big loves.
That's amazing. Busy, 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 and all glorious.
Well, it's glorious, you know, and, yeah, loving it, absolutely loving it. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, for our listeners, lightningspiral.com or Pacific Mystery School, type those in. You can get more information, of course, PamelaEakins.net, and that's EAKINS.net. And you can, and of course, the links are on Mother House and here on Blog Talk. So you can just click through, and if you have any questions, just email Pamela directly, and then, you know, off and running. What an exciting thing, though. You know, I really applaud you. I know how difficult it is to set up long-term curriculum. So it's a really huge undertaking, and yours is very thoughtful and looks very well organized.
Oh, well, thank you, Kimberly. You know, I love all that. Being, you know, mainly a learner, a student, 90% being a student, I think, and 10% being a teacher. But, you know, I've certainly been a teacher for many, many, many years. And why? Because that's my bliss. So, love it. Yeah, I love it. Anyway, so good, so good. It's all really wonderful.
Well, I that kind of takes care of the question of what's happening next for you, so we know.
That's it, right? That's it. That's what's happening next. I mean, so that was probably your last question, right? That is definitely what's happening next mm-hmm. for me, and just being inside the amazement of what we're all up to together is so thrilling. It's just thrilling. So I guess what's really up for me is being receptive, being open, being excited, participating in this whole, this phenomenal act of love, and being awake and alive, and knowing that I'm awake and alive, and that we all are. You know, we are so fortunate. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pamela, I would love to have you back like in the fall to give us an update on how the seminary is progressing. And, you know, I'd be very interested to hear, you know, how things are going and some feedback, and so we can continue to share the word for you here.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'd love to give you the feedback and let you know what the the stumbling blocks are. I expect there'll be a few because, you know, this is definitely something different. So we'll see where Mercury goes retrograde, you know. It's a great, exciting, fun adventure. So I'm kind of throwing that in now. I'm throwing in this adventure into you know, for anybody who dares, you know, like step back and take another little look at Christianity and, you know, Islam and Buddhism and see, okay, you know, how does this all work and fit together? So if anybody wants to play with that and look at that and take another step on their, you know, on the path, get in touch with me. And if you forget all of this, you know, you forget all the website names and everything. Just type in Pamela San Francisco Tarot, and you'll find me. I'm there. So, yeah.
Easy.
It's good.
Good.
Easy. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been a delight to have you. Thank you so very, very much, Pamela. And I apologize for our initial twistings there to the technology, but I'm so glad we finally connected. It's been a
me
really
too.
Great
Kimberly, me too. So good. Yeah, I was on the line, and I'm like, oh, I could hear you, and I'm like, I'm here, Kimberly, I'm here. Anyway, so it all worked out. Anyways, beautiful. All right, so we will definitely stay in touch, and love to everybody out there, just a heart full of love, and many, many blessings.
And many blessings to you. Thank you so much, Pamela.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Until next time.
Yeah. Thank you so much to our listeners, for those of you who hung in there as we were dealing with the tech early on. Hopefully next time will be a little bit better. The next time that we will be gathering will be for the new moon, May 6th. Lara Amazoni will be doing her live video ritual to the goddess Lakshmi. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. So new moon, May 6th, that'll be held on Mystery School of the Goddess. And then after that, I'll be back with Julie Daly in 2 weeks. So until then, everyone, stay well, stay happy, keep your sense of humor for the Mercury retrograde, and we'll see you around Mother House of the Goddess. Be blessed, everyone. Good night, and thank you.